Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms division number, Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Before you stand, let me read something, then we're going to read the Word of God, okay? My subject is the value of friendship, and I'm just going to substitute one word and put the importance of friendship. It'll be the same thing. I believe Brother Michael's the one that assigns these subjects, but Michael, you'll forgive me for that, okay? But let me just read some quotes. And you can Google and get anything in the world. Amen. Aren't you glad for Google, okay? I mean, when you're assigned a subject, you don't have any idea where to go, Google's always a good place, okay? So here are some quotes about the matter of friendship. A friend is one who knows you and loves you just the same. Friendship is not something you learn in school, but if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you really haven't learned anything. When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our life means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. Here's a good one. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Just walk beside me and be my friend. An insincere and evil friend is more to be feared than a wild beast. A wild beast may wound your body, but an evil friend will wound your mind. By the way, now be patient with me, all right? In the message, all these things are going to come out, okay? I don't have time to read all of them in the message, okay? Lots of people want to ride with you in the limo. But what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. Okay. I like that. A true friend never gets in your way unless you happen to be falling down. True friends stab you in the front, not in the back. Now listen to that. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? Be courteous to all, but intimate with the few. And let those few be well tried before you give them your confidence. A friend is someone who gives you total freedom to be yourself. Friendship is a single soul dwelling in two bodies. It is one of the blessings of old friends that you can afford to be stupid with them. I really like that. One more, okay? A true friend freely advises, justly assists, readily, adventurous, boldly, takes all patiently, defends courageously, and continues as friends unchangeably. Now, there's a lot of good quotes. And I'm not going to tell you who did the quotes. You'd think I was a liberal, okay? Because a lot of those people, you wouldn't agree with at all, okay? But those are just some thoughts about friendship. And as good as these are, and many of them are very good thoughts, very good quotes, when we really want to learn about friendship, then we have to turn to the Bible, God's Word. In Proverbs chapter 27, you have your Bibles, so stand with me as I read. Matthew chapter 27, and I'll begin reading with verse 6. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth honeycomb, but to the hungry soul even bitter things is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off. We drop down to verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that wandereth from his master shall be honored. Okay? Another passage. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and beginning with verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cold is not quickly broken. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the idea of Koba. I thank you that many, many years ago, you put on a man's heart a desire to reach the inner cities of America and to reach a people that were being neglected by many, many churches throughout this country. Now, thank you, dear Lord, in those years, the great progress that we have seen. And I pray, dear Lord, you'd keep your hand upon this movement. I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you that many, many years ago, one Saturday night, I realized I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, and I trusted you as my Savior. Lord, I'll never get over that. But I thank you, dear Lord, that you not only saved me, but you gave me something to do in your kingdom's work. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me this morning as I try to preach your word. I'd sure like to be a blessing to these dear people. But the only way that I could do that would be that you would bless me and use me. So Lord, I commit myself to you today, and I pray that you'll bless the message. It's your word, and I know you're going to, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Several things about the importance of friendship. First of all, let's think about the importance of companionship. When you think about friendship, you think about companionship. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." By the way, I try to tell all of the college students, some of them graduate from college and they still haven't found a good woman, and I tell them it's not good that man should be alone, okay? But God said it's not good that man should be alone. There were all kind of animals out there, but none of them were a suitable helpmeet, a completer for Adam. So Adam made from man, rib, a woman. And by the way, my best friend for 61 years has been my wife, Virginia. It is not good that man should be alone. A man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. And Virginia broke her arm on Wednesday from a fall. And we were sitting on the back porch Sunday night after church. And I sat there with my arm around her as we were in the swing on the back porch. And my mind went back some 62 years when we were set on the front porch down in Kentucky, okay? And if the light hadn't blinked, we'd probably sat there all night, okay? But when it was time for me to go home, Mr. Carlson would blink the lights, okay? What a friend she's been to me. On Thanksgiving night, 1954, I went forward in the Black Oak Baptist Church and committed my life to be a preacher of the gospel. Now, I can still remember saying to Brother Durwood Humble, "Brother Humble, I know God called me to preach, but I don't know how in the world I can preach." Now, I can remember Brother Humble asking me a simple question. "Well, Don, how did you get saved?" "I got saved by the grace of God." "Okay, if you ever preach, you'll have to preach by the grace of God, okay?" But that was good advice in 1954. is good advice in 2013, is it not? A couple of weeks later, my wife, Virginia, went forward in a Sunday night service. Now, she did not surrender to preach, okay? She's done a lot of preaching at home, okay? But she didn't surrender to preach then. But I'll never forget the statement that she made that night. And this is the statement she made. She said, since God has called on to be a preacher, then by the grace of God, I want to be the best wife I can so Don can be all that he can be. And by the way, for 61 years, she's done that, amen? What a great friend, amen? She's not one to boast me up a whole lot. Every once in a while, I'll just preach and, you know, somebody will give them the most flowery introduction, and I always want to take those, okay? And take them to Virginia, okay? And, you know, all these this, and, you know, all these expressions that they use and so forth for you. And then I won't be home very long until Virginia will bring me right back down to earth, okay? And by the way, that's good for us, amen? But by the same token, when everything may be going wrong and people may be saying all kind of bad things about me, thank God she lifts me up. It's not good that man should be alone. And isn't God good in that he provided a helpmeet for us? And Brother Hart, thank you for that great message on the home this morning. That was a masterpiece, amen? And thank God for the proofreading of your wife, okay? And every wife ought to be a good proofreader, okay? Especially the cell phones, the computers, and all those things. And stuff. The importance of companionship is not good that man should be alone. We're not supposed to be alone. I mean, God did not create us to be alone. God created us to associate with other people. So the importance of companionship. Number two, the importance of choosing friends. Make no friendship with an angry man, the Word of God says. In other words, he's saying, choose your friend. Someone has well said, if you will tell me your five best friends, you will not have to tell me anything about you. I know all about you. In reality, you are what your friends are. So we need to choose our friends. Now, sad to say that many times people have chosen the wrong friends. We read about a man by the name of Amnon. And the Bible says Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab. Amnon had a friend, okay? Amnon lusting after his half-sister. And Jonadab made a plan whereby he could rape his sister. And he did. And all kind of horrible results. So be careful how you choose your friends. Job has some friends. Virginia and I just finished reading the book of Job. We read 7 chapters a day for 6 days. You know, and all I could think of was, with friends like that, you sure don't need any enemies, amen? So Job had the friend of Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. And every time Job would open his mouth, his friends would begin to think, okay, he's wrong, he's sinful, he's done something bad, he's done this, he's done that, and so forth. And all through the book of Job, and finally, thank God, we get to the end, and God justifies Job. We need friends. But then I think David had a friend. His name was Jonathan. And what a friend Jonathan was to David. And Jonathan became such a good friend to David, and he came to the realization that God's hand was on David, and that David, not he, would become the king of Israel. And that didn't bother him. He was a friend until his very day that he died. What a great thing it is to have a friend like that. Paul had a friend. His name was Barnabas. When nobody else would believe him, Barnabas lifted Paul up. Paul had friends. He had some friends that let him down in a basket over the walls of Damascus so he could escape. He had some friends that helped him get to Tarsus. He had a friend, Barnabas, that when he had been in Tarsus for some 3 years, that he went down and he got him and brought him up and helped him get involved in the public ministry. Thank God for a friend like Barnabas, amen. By the way, Paul had many friends. Dr. James Stalker, who wrote The Life of Christ and The Life of Paul, and both of them are classic, made this statement. The Apostle Paul was not only a great soul winner, the Apostle Paul was a great friend winner. In Romans chapter 16, he mentions by name 36 different people. In other words, everywhere Paul went, Paul was making friends. Thank God I have some friends. I think of a friend that came to my church, the very first revival meeting that we had in the church I pastored down in Kentucky. Big metropolitan area, Silent Run, Kentucky. Suburb of Rabbit Ridge, okay? I mean, Rabbit Ridge was up on the ridge. Silent Run was down in the holler, okay? And they'd moved everything out except the church house and the graveyard. And they couldn't move the church house, or they couldn't move the graveyard, so they wouldn't move the church. But they strip mined all around, so there's nothing hardly down there. But the church is there. And they called me to preach, and I thought, oh, wonder, this is wonderful. And it was. I mean, you know, Virginia and I were the youngest people there. She was 19, I was 21 years old when we went down this path. They said, okay, we're going to have a revival in March, so it's your responsibility to get a preacher for us. And I hardly knew any preachers, but I got one of the only preachers I knew, a young man by the name of David Brown, just graduated from Mayfield Baptist College, Western Kentucky Baptist College. And what a friend he became to me. He taught me so many things about the Bible. He didn't teach me how to win souls by saying, hey, this is the way you do it, Don. And I'd never seen anybody saved outside of the church house. I'd never heard the word soul winning. We went visiting one day, and I watched Brother David Brown be the man of the Lord. And I caught it. And by the way, soul winning is easier taught than it is taught. Amen. You want to show somebody how to be a soul winner? Take them out soul winning. Lead somebody to the Lord. Don't try to teach people to the Lord if you don't lead them yourself, okay? But he didn't only teach me that. He taught me to love books. He taught me so many things. He helped me to lead a convention that I was a member of. I'll not mention which one it was, okay? It was a Baptist convention. It was in the South, okay? But I will not mention which one it was. I had a friend. My friend passed away a couple of years ago. Went to his funeral there in Las Vegas. I had a friend. I met him one night when I was preaching at Fairfax Baptist Temple. Before I preached, he gave a testimony. And I watched him as he gave the testimony. And I watched his actions. And I watched his beautiful wife and all the things about him. And I went home that night, or went where I was staying that night, to the room where I was staying. And I said to my wife, there is a man that has a great burden for his people. For a long time, God had given me a burden for the black people of America. I had a friend. I mean, from the day that I met him, he became my friend. You know, some people, you meet them and you love them. And the better you know them, the more you love them. Some people you meet, you don't like them so much, but the better you know them, the more you love them. Some people you meet, you love them, the better you know them, the less you like them. Okay. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things. But that was just one of those times. I mean, from the day that I met him, it was just a friendship. I have a friend. Amen. Thank God he's still alive. Most of my friends are dead by now, okay? I have a friend. You're talking about somebody helping you when you're down now, when you need help more than anything else. That's the kind of friend Dr. Lou and Mrs. Baldwin have been to me. And by the way, friendship spreads from one generation to the other. I mean, Dee Dee and Michael and Kenny, they're all my friends. I have a friend. Most of you know about this, but when Virginia had her brain tumor about 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, I got a phone call 2 or 3 days before the operation. Brother Baldwin said, "Don, Virginia, or Lewis, what's your name?" Jeanette and I are coming out to be with y'all during the operation. And I said, "Brother Baldwin, we've got all kind of support help. Our pastor's here. So sister, we don't have all kind of..." No, it doesn't make any difference. The church has already told us they want us to go, and we're going to come. And they sat there with us during that operation. And that's when you need a friend. And I was glad my pastor was there, and I thank God for him. I was glad others were there, and I thank God for it. But the fact that somebody would come 4,000 miles to be with us in the operation, it just spoke volumes. I never will forget after the operation was over and they came out that the tumor was benign. We got all of it. She's going to be fine. Man, we just stood there and sang and rejoiced and praised God. Then we went for a sandwich. I never will forget what Brother Baldwin said to me. Her doctor was Dr. Gabriel Hunt. And Brother Baldwin said, "Brother Sis, you didn't tell me that Dr. Hunt was black." And I said, "Brother Lee, we weren't looking for color. We were looking for a new old surgeon, okay?" I have a friend. I have a friend I met him a long, long time ago. And from the very day I met him, he became my counselor. During my time as president, general director of BIMI, every big decision I ever made, I counseled with my friend. Be sure today, I won't tell you his name. He's going to preach tomorrow. Okay? I have a lot of friends. I have a friend. The importance of choosing friends. By the way, isn't it wonderful you can look back and see people that's been your friends? Now, most of you can't do this, okay? You're not old enough. But you can see people that's been your friends for 30, 40, 50 years. One of my good friends was Leo Walters. Leo and I were golf buddies. He's about 6 months younger than I am and teased me all the time about me being older than him. A few days ago, Wednesday morning, about 5:30, I woke up, I looked at my cell phone, it was blinking, and there was a text message on there that said, "Please pray for Evelyn. Leo went home to be with the Lord." And I read that text to Virginia, and she began to cry profusely. What a great friend he was. I have a friend. Choose your friend, okay? Every one of those friends that I've mentioned, and I could mention hundreds more, literally, that they've all been such a blessing to me. The importance of choosing your friend. Number three, the importance of maintaining your friend. Look, if you will, back in the book of Proverbs 27. And look at verse 10. "Thine own friends and thy father's friends forsake not." Wow. A dentist I used to go to when I needed a dentist. Okay. I don't need one now, okay? But when I used to go to this dentist, they had a sign up there, "Neglect your teeth and they'll go away." Okay. And that was a good sign. I did, and they did, okay. to neglect your friends, and they'll go away. Friendship has to be maintained. I mean, you know, just like Dr. Hart was talking about cultivating the home and all that stuff and so forth. I sat beside a young man on the way from Los Angeles to San Jose the other day. And after he found out, both of us were Christians. We found out we were Christians. And we began to rejoice about different things. And he was about 25, 26 years old. And for some reason, he was scared of getting married. He wanted to get married, but he was scared to marry. And I said, son, nothing to be scared of. You know, just go ahead and do it, okay? And I said, you know, my wife and I have been married nearly 60 years. And I said, now we're still working at it. And he said, you mean you have to work it after all those years? And I said, oh, yes, I'm married to a woman. And she's married to a man, okay? You have to work at it, amen? And friendship is like that. It doesn't just happen naturally. You work at it. You help each other. You call each other. You text each other. There's no reason for lack of communication today, amen? So the necessity of maintaining friends. Then the importance of protecting your friends. The importance of protecting your friends. Look back in chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 27 and 28. The importance of protecting your friends. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Wow, don't you like that description? A forward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. Protect your friends. In other words, when the whisper comes around, did you hear? Now, don't tell anybody else, but the reason they say don't tell anybody else is they want to tell everybody else, okay? And when somebody begins to accuse your friends and whisper about your friends and say this about your friends, what's the best thing you can do? You know, when somebody says something about my friends, first thing I always say, do you know for sure that's true? Well, I heard it. Oh, really? Sometimes preachers are the worst gossip in the world. They preach about gossip and then go out and do it, okay? They practice what they preach, okay? And I've had preachers come, oh, did you hear about this? Do you know that's true? Have you talked to him about it? Somebody tell me something bad about one of my friends, one of the first things I would do, I'd call my friend. And the Bible says love covers a multitude. Instead of about gossiping about our friends, if we would love our friends and do what we can to help them, and even if they have done wrong, to be there to help them to get back. The importance of protecting friends. Then the importance of making friends. I've had people say, I don't have any friends. I said, okay, you've told off on yourself. I don't have any friends. Why? If a man is to have friends, he must show himself unfriendly. Right? No, that's right. You don't have any friends. If a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly. We are always to be making friends. I used to use this poem. I don't know where I got it. It doesn't make any difference, okay? But I love it. Listen to it. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had a wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. You won't have friends? Then make friends. Be friends. We live in a world that's literally looking for somebody to be a friend to them. I remember some 22 years ago, we were in a meeting, and I have no idea why I went to the meeting other than a friend really wanted me to go. So I went. And I really didn't like anything I heard. And I determined this would be my first and last. This is a two in one. Amen. My first and last. And I never did go to a meeting. But in one of the break times, I saw a young man sitting back by himself. And I went back to that young man, and I had some of my books. Most of my books I give away because I can't sell them, okay? I always tell them my book ministry is non-profit. I didn't plan it that way. It just worked out like that, okay? But I gave this young man my book, The Joy of Giving, or Joy for Giving. And he and I sat there and chatted for a few minutes. Not long after that, I decided, or he asked me to come out to California and preach in a conference and so forth. And so for the last 21, 22 years, that young man has been one of the best friends I've ever had in all my life. It's just a friendship. If you want to have friends, make friends. I was on the plane yesterday, and I didn't really know what to preach today, okay? I thought, friendship. Nobody's going to shout about this, okay? You know, those other preachers, they're going to have them shouting, standing up on the pews, hollering and hooping and so forth. And what are you going to talk about friendship and make anybody stand up and holler and hoop? And none of you have so far, okay? So it worked out the way I thought. I sat down beside this fellow, you know, two seats on the blue plane from Chattanooga to Atlanta, so you don't have long. But you know, it really doesn't take a long time to make a friend. I don't even know how the conversation got started. But, man, we sat there and talked the whole time. And he said, hey, my wife is on this plane, my daughter is on this plane, and my grandson is on this plane, and I want them to meet you. And he's from Redmond, California, and he's thinking about moving to Chattanooga. And he says, when I move here, I want you to help me. And I said, okay, that's what we're for. So I met his son, I met his wife, I met his daughter-in-law, I met his grandson. He was 2 years old, and he was really impressed with him. And all I could think about was, you know, he's pretty good, but good night. I've got a great-grandson that's 2 years old, and this kid is nothing compared to him, okay? And by the way, I have a slide presentation of my three great-grandchildren. I'll show it in the next service, okay? But really, we sat there for 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, that's the longest. And he's going to come to Chattanooga, and we're going to be friends. And I said, now I'll be preaching out in California in a couple of weeks. And he said, I want to come hear you preach. Now, he goes to church on Saturday, so he can come to my church on Sunday. You can guess what he was, okay? By the way, I'd like to win that friend to the Lord. The importance of making friends. Then in closing, the importance of knowing the ultimate friend. The importance of knowing the ultimate friend. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15 for just a minute. John chapter 15. Look at this, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. That's friendship. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. The importance of knowing the ultimate friend. Now listen to what Jesus said. You're my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. By the way, it's wonderful that Jesus made that statement, because he is the sovereign God of the universe who is the only one that had the right to make that statement. Okay? Now, if you say, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you to do, you're not going to have friends very long. Amen? And by the way, that's the reason some of you don't have many friends. I mean, you can be my friend as long as you do everything I tell you to do the way I told you to do it, okay? So he said, you're my friend. By the way, if you're a friend of Jesus, guess what? You'll be telling people about him. I mean, you have a good friend, you're going to tell people about him, amen? If you're a friend of Jesus, you'll love Jesus' church. He died for you. If you're a friend of Jesus, you'll be willing to give. You'll be willing to go. You'll be willing to do anything he wants you to do. The importance of knowing the ultimate friend. You're my friend if you do whatever I command you. Now, watch what Jesus said. Henceforth, I call you not servant. And by the way, that's a wonderful term. But he said, I'm not calling you servant. For the servant knoweth not what his master doeth, or his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Listen to him. He's saying to disciples, I'm not just calling you a servant. Oh, you are a servant, but hey, you're more than a servant. You're a friend. You're a friend. Then of all the things in verse 16, I'll never get over this. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Isn't that something? I think about so many of my friends. And I think it is a wonderful thing that he chose me, or she chose me, as a friend. But think about it. God incarnated in the flesh. The sovereign God of the universe, Jesus Christ, says, John, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Wow, does that make you feel special or not? Jesus chose me to be a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God. What a friend. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am God. The joy we share as we carry that, none other could ever know. Well, I thank God for my best friend, Virginia. And I thank God for 100 friends or more that I can mention by name. I'll tell you what, of all the friends, isn't it wonderful we have a friend in Jesus? And there will come a day when, regardless of who our friends are, they can only go so far. And I like that old song. We won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all our sins to atone. At the breaking of day, I'll not have to cross Jordan alone. If a man is to have friends, he must learn to friend them. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I believe the writer of Proverbs really meant some other human when he made that statement. But you and I, when we think of that statement, we always think of the ultimate friend to him, Jesus. And aren't you thrilled today that you can be counted a friend of Jesus? Let's bow our heads for prayer. You've heard about the home. You've heard about friendship. You've heard about keeping relationships right, striving to keep the church pure, and so forth. And let's just take just a moment and think about maybe some things God may be speaking to us about today. You know, when you listen to preaching, That's God speaking to you. But during the invitation, that's your chance to do business with God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and I'm going to pray. And after the prayer, we'll have some music. And it may be that God would have you to come and make some commitments this morning about what you've heard. And I know you can make decisions right in the pew where you're standing. But I, in my own life, I've always noticed that the decisions that I feel at the altar, they're just a little bit special. So let's stand together for prayer, and then after prayer, the music. Dear Lord, thank you that you have